This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is a gorgeous day outside. I mean, it's just gorgeous today. It is the day before the haircut. Tomorrow, I am getting my hair all cut off, so this should be interesting. I will become an anonymous person again. So, we'll see. Anyways, Ed, we'll see if my grandson still looks at me when I come in a room. I suspect it will take him a little while to get used to the change, just like it did with my granddaughter when she was his age. I'm taking off a little early today because I had a breakfast scheduled with a buddy and then he slept in, and so I got to work a little early. So I'm taking off a little early, which is just fine because I have things to do at home. We've got some cousins coming in. We were originally just going to meet them for dinner down in Branson, but they need a ride back up to Springfield anyways to get to the airport, so they're going to stay with us tomorrow night. So got to go home, help my wife do a little cleaning, get some sheets on the bed. Be great. So it'll be fun to see them again, get a chance more kind of to talk. He and I usually get into a voluminous discussion and an animated discussion about different things, because he has opinions about things and I have opinions about things, and it's all in good fun. So so it should be fun. I always enjoy talking to him. The writing is going well. I'm theoretically closing in on the end of this book. I may have to, I don't know. I don't have this, like, big, dramatic, well, I kind of do, and then it kind of relaxes out. So, you know, I'll have to see. I'm not necessarily interested in having, you know, a big, huge crisis resolution type thing on the end. I'll see. Because I have things I want to talk about, and so, you know, it's going to tailor back down. I mean, I've kind of set up what could be a big, dramatic battle on the end of this thing, but I don't necessarily want to have to end every book with a big, dramatic battle in this series. So I may just set the tone such that I don't do a big dramatic ending battle on this and just save that for later. So I'm trying to kind of decide on that now, because if I was just reading the book, I would expect where I am right now to lead to a big dramatic battle. But if I do the big dramatic battle, that's probably going to add another 10 pages or so to the book. And I don't know. We'll see. I'll write it out, and if it feels like it really, really needs that in the editing, then I'll just pad it out and put it in there. I just would like, at this point, I would like to get the thing closed, in the rough draft at least, to where I can kind of see where I'm at, page-wise, and then in the editing, I can always put it in. That's the thing about writing fiction. You can just always hinge stuff open and add more stuff. It's just really not that hard to just hinge it open. So right now I've kind of got it set up where it looks like, oh no, here it comes. And then I'm just going, nope, not yet. So I got to see if that's satisfying enough. Because I'm not a fan of those kind of books that They kind of just get you ready for something, and then it was like, oh, never mind. Or I'm not a fan of those kind of stories. I remember Babylon 5. They had been building for the final battle in Babylon 5. They had been building for it for like 4 years. And they get to the final battle, and then, like, it was some race that was revealed or something. It was like, oh, never mind. And it was all over. It's like, what? What? I want to see something blown up. So I'm feeling like kind of maybe I'm doing that same type of thing to the readers in this first book. And I may have to satisfy there. Or at least there needs to be some big dramatic escape something. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. What else? What else? What else? What else? Had some nice conversations with friends this week. That's all good. It's all good. Just kind of everything's pottering along. You know, we're just putting one foot in front of the other and trying to get all the things done that need to get done. The work is going fine. I had some meetings, consensus building meetings today, and everybody seems to kind of be on the right page, and so that's all puttering along too, and so it's good. So far it's good. I think everybody seems to be happy with the progress and where we're going and what we're looking at and what we're talking about as a potential to do. And so I was doing a little research this afternoon on Dynamics CRM 2013, and it's not quite as polished as Salesforce, but you know, that's the way it goes. Microsoft will get better though, so then we have to decide how are we going to stand in the gap before Microsoft gets better. So we'll see. We may have to get a little creative. That wouldn't be the first time that we had to do that. I may have mentioned last week that I had seen a TED Talk with Bill and Melinda Gates. And it was nice to see that TED Talk, but there was kind of something that came out of that that I thought, oh, how interesting is that? As you may or may not know, well, I'm hopefully certain that you know, that Bill Gates was one of the founders of Microsoft. Obviously did very, very well for himself. Billions and billions of dollars. Several years ago, they started the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And so the TED Talk was really interviewing them about starting this foundation. It's about philanthropy and what their goals are and that kind of thing. And there were a few things that came out on it that were interesting to me. Because in listening to them, they just sound very level-headed. And it was just nice. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine what it would be like to not be just a billionaire, but be a tens of billionaire. Was the last figure I saw at one point, he was worth like $50 billion. I mean, that's he's worth more than some of the economies of some countries. It's just unbelievable. And to hear them talk about that and their relationship to that and some of the things they do, it was good. It was very good. They were talking about the fact that what kind of got it started was they had taken a trip to Africa, She said, we were already engaged to be married at that point. They were married a few months later. She said, but the trip was... this was the trip where we really went to see the animals and see the savannah, and it was incredible. She said, Bill had never taken that much time from work. She said, but what really touched us were the people and the extreme poverty. And she said, we started to ask ourselves questions. Did it have to be like this? And at the end of the trip, they went out to Zanzibar. They took some time to walk on the beach, which she said that was something that we had been doing a lot in dating, was walking on the beach. And she said we had already talked about the fact that what were they going to do with this wealth that Microsoft had brought them, and that it should be given back to society. But the question was, how were they going to go about it? And it was on that vacation, if I understood correctly, that they decided that they were going to start a foundation. And what they wanted to do, they said, is address, you know, some really, really big problems. And so they looked around and they started saying, what big problems are out there? And of course, vaccines were a huge problem, and so they went after some of that. But she said also that what they wanted to do was hit, they wanted to just focus on a couple of things, and one of them that they focused on was children dying, not having enough food to develop adequately that they could ever get out of that. And the other one that they wanted to do internally in the United States was pursue education and see what they could do to make the educational system better. She also got involved in contraceptions, which she's a Catholic, which is an interesting thing for her because, you know, Catholics supposedly don't believe in contraceptions, but she was saying there are a whole lot of American women who do believe in contraception. And she was talking about the fact that she had met with an African woman who was, you know, pleading with her, can I get this contraceptive shot? And she said, because I walk all day to get to the clinic and they don't have the shot. And of course, the response normally is, well, but we supply condoms all over Africa. And she said, you know, the woman was saying, I can't get my husband to use a condom, just not there, and I can't control the size of my family, I can't see that my children are fed if I don't have contraceptions. And so they've gotten involved in that as well, and they were talking about, you know, their favorite graphs, the favorite things they feel like they've been a part of helping. And Bill Gates had a graph that was showing that not long after he was born, we had 20 million children who were dying before the age of 5 every year. And he said now, he said, it's down to 6 million children a year. So there's definite progress being made. And he said that's largely the story of vaccines. And of course, they've been involved in vaccines and things. So it was good. It was good to hear them talk about what they were doing. But it was also good. They had kind of a funny little thing where when Bill Gates finally retired from Microsoft, he came to work for the foundation. And Melinda Gates was saying, yeah, a lot of people were really, really nervous about he's, you know, Bill Gates is coming to work for us. But she said, you know, about 3 months after they was there, that anxiety went away. And apparently, you know, some of the employees weren't as nervous about having him around anymore, and some of the employees just weren't there. So that's kind of what a good business manager will do. He'll come in and he'll take a look at the lay of the land. And as my son-in-law he's famed for quoting, you got to get the right people on the bus, you got to get the right people on the right seats, and you got to get the wrong people off the bus. So, anyways, but, you know, what's interesting is they do talk about the failures that they've had, and they said, fortunately, we can afford a few failures. But they talk about the fact that this has become for them one of the most satisfying things that they've done, and the fact that they've struck out and created this foundation and been successful about what they've been doing, they've actually been able to draw in other people like William Buffett. William Buffett was planning on his wife being the philanthropist and handing out all the funds and doing that, and then his wife died early, and so he's, you know, turned over a bunch of his wealth to this foundation. And Bill and Melinda Gates have actually gone around to a lot of the other wealthy people in the world and encouraged them to either set up their own foundations or make their wealth available. And they said at this point we've got like 120 people who have signed this pledge that when they die or at some point, you know, as they get ready to retire, that they're just going to start foundations, turn over their wealth to go after some of these really big problems. And this is where things started getting interesting for me, both in terms of the utopia versus dystopia versions of the future, and in terms of the reconcentration of wealth. Because initially, governments, you know, kind of form up and they have a lot of power, and then companies start to form up and they produce a lot of power and they still have a lot of power. But what I was seeing in this was then the founders of these companies transition away from the companies, and if they're going to start up all these foundations that are going to get funded with billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, that's going to constitute its own power shift. And I see that as actually having a potential to bring in, you know, this kind of tech utopia that people are always talking about. Now, I'm still not convinced. I'm still not convinced that we'll actually get there, but at least I see that maybe there is a path forward, you know, that when you have people who are as powerful and as influencing as someone like a Bill Gates, that gets to have a really interesting formula. That if that influence can spread among tech leaders, and, you know, I don't know, it's really interesting. The other thing that I thought was very interesting was they talked to them about their children. And from the sounds of it, they've decided that what they're going to do with their children is provide them the best education they can, you know, and give them every opportunity that they can. But what they aren't going to do is they aren't going to just turn them into billionaires and say, okay, that's it, just lounge around the rest of your life. You know, they said that, they said, our children are not going to have anything like that. They said, because as we look at society, and we look at kids who have inherited that kind of wealth, they don't believe it's good for the kids, and they don't believe it's good ultimately for society to have that kind of inheritance going on, which is a really interesting perspective. I'm backing into my garage. And so, you know, Bill Gates's viewpoint was that if you are blessed with wealth, if you have had tremendous wealth, then what you really need to do is you need to take that wealth and use it to go after the really big and intractable problems in the world. Because they may not get solved any other way than by having people who are not motivated by a profit, who don't need to be motivated by a profit any longer, to simply go after these problems and apply the best possible solutions they can to them. Which is really interesting, given that, you know, in Bill Gates's case, you do have someone who's a technologist, who's a forward thinker, who has been able to surround himself with very good people. So that's an interesting track for the future, because if you have any kind of a significant percentage of wealthy people who are saying, you know what, we're not giving it to our kids and ruining their lives. They get a good education. They will do for themselves. We're putting it back into foundations that are going to help improve the lives of people around the world. That's very, very interesting. And there's all kinds of dynamics involved in that that may not end up being great dynamics, but that's a very interesting formula. So we'll see. Who knows? It may make it into Windfall somewhere. That's the great thing about Windfall. Everything makes it into Windfall. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.